Welcome to College Football Truth Day. I'm Riley Ruby from Chicago Sports Network.
And I'm Lincoln Stevens from American Football Network.
We hope that you will be following us all throughout the season as we pick the winners of the major college football matchups. Make sure you check out our YouTube channels and follow us on our podcast to make sure that you never miss another episode of College Football Truth Day.
Make sure you're following along. We really appreciate all of you guys' support. We'll take a quick ad break and we'll be right back with all the action.
Welcome back to College Football Truth Day. Thank you for listening. As always, we're going to get into our first of the top three matchups for this week, Miami versus Alabama. This is a game being played in a neutral site in Atlanta, Georgia, as the, I think, Chick-fil-A kickoff game. So this should be an interesting matchup just for that reason alone. I expect this game to be almost a lot like when Florida State played Alabama a couple of years ago. I think that was 2016 or 17.
17, I think.
It was quite a blowout, and it was, 2017. That was a bad year for Florida State, even though they started off ranked third. So why don't we get into a little bit of a Miami breakdown? Once we get throughout the season, we'll do a little bit look back at how they're doing and stuff like that. But right now we do not have that. So why don't we look a little bit back on last season, and then what do we think about what's going on for Miami and coming to this game? What do you think, Lincoln?
So last year, Miami went 8-3. They got blown out by Clemson on the road at Clemson. They lost 42-17. They also lost to North Carolina, got blown out in that game. The North Carolina ran the ball all over them. They lost 62-26. And then they lost in the Cheez-It Bowl 37-34. They probably win that game if Derek King stays healthy, because he went out in the second quarter and they still only lost by three. They return 11 starters, all 11 starters on offense. Or no, excuse me, 10 starters on offense. They lose the tight end. And then they return 9 starters on defense. Brevin Jordan, one of the few guys leaving off that offense. They return some good stuff. But the defense really struggled last year. The defense was just bad last year. The D-line's now worse because you lose both your ends in Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips. The bright spot of this team is in the secondary, where you have DJ Ivy and Bubba Bolden. Bubba Bolden probably going to be an all-ACC first-team pick at safety, maybe second-team, but I imagine him to be a first-team pick. He's very talented, but I think Miami season is going to depend on how much or how healthy De'Eriq King is. I don't think Miami is going to be – I don't think De'Eriq King is going to be able to stay 100% healthy, and they're definitely going to lose some of these games. They have some tougher teams. Obviously they play Alabama, but they also, Virginia is not a given win. At North Carolina is going to be a tough one, and NC State, just that three game stretch right there with Virginia, at North Carolina, and NC State is going to be tough. And then they go at Pittsburgh. That's not a guaranteed win. I expect them to win that game, but Pittsburgh could get the win there. And depending on the play, Mackenzie Milton at Florida State could be a difficult game, but I don't expect Florida State to be very good this year. So what are your thoughts on Miami?
Well, last season, I think you really pointed it out. It was two blowout losses to the two best teams on their schedule. Well, really the only two good teams on their schedule, in North Carolina and at Clemson. I think that this Miami team under Manny Diaz in their third year, he obviously had an improvement from the first year where, he went 6-7. I think that the biggest question here is, do you think that there could be another big jump in play? Because this season you have a game at North Carolina. You don't have to play Clemson, but you have to play Alabama. So that's two losses right there that are pretty likely, unless if somehow you make up that gap against North Carolina, which seems very unlikely. So I think that this season is going to be a tough one for Miami. But going into this Alabama game, the biggest issue that I see here is I think that both quarterbacks are decently unproven, and especially in Bryce Love, he's unproven. And De'Eriq King, he's unproven in the sense that, can he stay fully intact and healthy? And I don't mean like go out during the game, but I mean like he's fully healthy. That is something that has been hard for him to have in the career. And I don't see the Hurricanes having any chance in this game because of the blowouts whenever they play decent teams. So right now, I think that Miami's really going to struggle in this game. I have this as a loss for Miami. What do you think about this game? What do you think about the upcoming matchup against Alabama, particularly in the trenches? And then what do you think about the secondary and wide receiver positions, especially with all those Alabama losses at wide receiver?
People can talk about, I'll start with wide receiver secondary. People can talk about Charleston Rambo, how he's going to be such a big improvement to this Miami offense. Truth is, he was like the fourth or fifth best receiver at Oklahoma. That's why he left. So it's not like people want to say they're getting a starter from Oklahoma, but they're not. They're getting their fourth or fifth best receiver. I don't think he's that good in particular. I don't think he's going to make a difference in any of these big games to help close the gap. The main thing is Miami just really struggles. They're going to struggle talent-wise. They're just not going to have enough talent. They're not going to have enough depth. I think Miami has, I don't know, I want to say Miami has a better receiving core just because all of Alabama's receivers are unproven, and Miami has guys like Dee Wiggins, Charleston Rambo, Mike Carley, Mark Pope. So they have some guys. Mike Carley last year was their leading receiver with 57 catches and pretty much 800 yards. He had 799 and 7 touchdowns. Mark Pope, 33 catches, 400 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I think Bama has more talent at the offense, at the wide receiver position. I would say because they have Charleston Rambo, I know I just got done talking bad about him, but he has proven he can be a decent outside receiver. So I think he's more proven than any receiver on Bama's roster, but I do think Bama is more talented at the position overall. In the secondary, I think Bubba Bolden, like I said earlier, is good. I think DJ Ivy's pretty good, but I think Bama has the better secondary. They have guys like Jordan Battle and Malachi Moore at star and strong safety. Bama's a much better team. They just have way more talent than Miami does. So now the trenches, Bama's offensive line with guys like Evan Neal, he was ranked, I think, fourth in ESPN's top 100 college football players of this upcoming season. So he's definitely a really good left tackle. The only concern is they only return two starters on that offensive line. They returned Evan Neal and Emil Ekelor. So that could be a concern there, but all those guys are very talented. I think Alabama's going to dominate. I think their offensive line is going to dominate, and I think their defensive line is going to dominate as well. Like I said earlier, Miami lost a couple guys off that. They lost their two defensive ends off that D line, and that was really the strong suit of that defense last year. And I think that defense is going to be terrible this year.
So, for me personally, the big thing about Alabama is that in the wide receiver core slash tight end area, I think Alabama, I would look out, especially in this first game, I think I would look out for the tight end in Alabama and Jaleel Billingsley, just because I think that a lot of young quarterbacks will go to tight ends as like a safety blanket or stuff like that, so that way they know that they're going to be open. He's a big guy, big target. So I expect him to get a lot of catches, and I expect Alabama to be able to dominate throughout the air as much as they want. I think that the defensive line for Miami isn't going to be as bad as some people think. I think it could be pretty stout for about a quarter or two, but I think Alabama will wear and tear on them a little bit. And then I just want to point out something here that I found fascinating. With Alabama's last 5 Week 1 matchups. They played number 20 USC, beat them 52-6. They played number 3 Florida State, beat them 24-7. Played Louisville, beat them 51-14. Played Duke, beat them 42-3. And last year they played Missouri, beat them 38-19. A lot of teams have Week 1 jitters and don't perform well in Week 1. That is just not true for Alabama. They are absolutely dominant in Week 1, so I expect another dominating performance. And I just don't know how good of a coach Manny Diaz actually is. So I'm gonna have to trust Nick Saban here. So like I said previously, I'm giving Alabama the win, and Miami the loss. What's your prediction for this game? And then let's move on to Wisconsin, Penn State.
I really think Bama's gonna come out and destroy them, because, like I said, Miami just can't compete with them talent-wise. Yeah, there's been talks that Bryce Young hasn't looked good in fall camp, but I just don't think that matters. I think they're just so much better than Miami. They have talent all over the field, much more compared to Miami. And I, like you said, you can trust Nick Saban way more than you can trust Manny Diaz. He did take a step last year, but he just couldn't beat any good teams, really. And even though, yeah, he played Oklahoma State close, and you can say Oklahoma State was a good team, they were missing half their team because they were all a lot of them were sitting out for the draft. They had opted out of their bowl game for the NFL draft, so they weren't really playing Oklahoma State. They were just playing pretty much what Oklahoma State's gonna look like this year. And they barely lost that game. They did lose to Derrick King, but they just didn't play well in any of those games against big, tough opponents. So I think Alabama destroys them here.
Yeah, so let's move on to Wisconsin, Penn State. This is gonna the reason a lot of these other games, Miami and Alabama have been hyped up. The game that we're gonna talk about after this one, Georgia and Clemson has been hyped up. But this Wisconsin, Penn State game has really not been hyped up as much as it really should be because Wisconsin and Penn State are both tremendous teams, and with this game being at Camp Randall. And with Penn State coming off just a terrible season, but winning their last four games, this game could be incredibly interesting because you just honestly don't know what team is going to come out, whether there's going to be week one jitters or what is going to go on, because I think that this game could decide how good Penn State is and whether Penn State can compete in the Big Ten East. So I'm going to open up the floor to you here a little bit, Lincoln. How good do you think Graham Mertz is, and do you think that he will prove himself in this game, or do you think he will fall apart? And then do you think that Wisconsin actually has a running back, or do you think they just have somebody that benefits because they have a good offensive line?
Quite honestly, I don't think Graham Mertz has to prove himself in this game for them to get the win. I think they're just going to pound the ball, pound the clock, for a lot of it. And he also has some good targets as well. He has Jake Ferguson, one of the best tight ends in the country. So he has a good weapon in him, especially on third downs and in the red zone. He's a big guy. But I think John Chennault could be there. Could be their running back or Jalen Berger, one of those two. Chennault, obviously the fullback, but I think they'll get him out in space and they'll try and pound it with him. He's going to be like their second running back for the most part. But Jalen Berger, I think he could be a good running back. I think he could break out kind of like Jonathan Taylor did. A lot of people didn't really talk about Jonathan Taylor's freshman year, and then I believe it was his sophomore year he ended up running for almost 2,000 yards. So. It's kind of hard to tell with Wisconsin. They definitely have one of the best offensive lines in the country. They return three of those guys off that offensive line. I think they're going to pound the ball. I think they're going to just physically dominate Penn State at the line of scrimmage. And then going to what you or do you, I just answered that question. Will Graham Mertz break out? I kind of answered that one too. I think he will prove himself in this game, but like I said, I don't think he has to. I think this will be a good moment for him in his career because I think he's going to get a good win here. I think obviously Wisconsin's going to win, and I think Graham Mertz is going to lead them to the win in a closer game, in a closer, tighter game. So I think he'll have some good experiences in this game to maybe help him become into a good quarterback like he was really supposed to be. But he's very unproven right now.
So the question that I have for you specifically is, do you think that this offense could just be the offense that we saw last year during their three-game losing streak against Northwestern, Indiana, and Iowa? Do you think this offense could be stagnant and just atrociously bad? Or do you think that Penn State's defensive line is going to be holed up? Or do you think that this, do you think the biggest advantage is going to be Camp Randall? Or do you think that the biggest advantage is going to be the offensive line and trenches generally?
I think it's going to be a mix. You obviously have the home crowd, and it's going to be the first game back. It's going to be a packed house, well, as packed as they can get it. I don't know what their guidelines are or what they're doing, if they're requiring vaccines or any of that stuff. I'm not sure what they're doing with that, but they're definitely going to have a lot of fans in that stadium. I think that's part of it. I think the other part is they're bigger and they're stronger than Penn State. They have better linemen than they do on both sides of the ball, in my opinion. I mean, Penn State only returns one D lineman, and that's their D tackle, P.J. Mustipher. So I think their D-line could be a little bit better, but that defense really struggled, especially early on last year. They were giving up tons of points to everybody. I mean, they let Maryland score 35. Like, who the heck lets Maryland score 35 points? And I think Penn State's offense is very unproven in their own right as well. I don't think you can just mail it in and just say Penn State's going to score 20, 30 points. I think Penn State, especially against this Wisconsin defense, I think Penn State's offense is just as questionable as Wisconsin's is at this point. I would say that Penn State has the better weapon in Jahan Dotson, but I think he could definitely be contained, and they could definitely, and Wisconsin could definitely scheme around him and figure out a way to not let him beat them.
So going on to the Penn State area, Penn State lost their first five games to start off the season, and then rattle off four straight wins to end the season, starting with Michigan and ending with Illinois. Penn State brings back a lot of key contributors on the offensive end, and Jahad Dotson, Sean Clifford, Noah Kane, and Parker Washington. This could be a dynamic team, and if Penn State can make this more of a spread offense type of game where they're spreading the ball around and able to get they're able to run the ball, I think that Penn State could have a chance at winning this game, but they have to get a running game set, and that may be difficult, even though Noah Kane is a great running back. So my question to you is do you think Noah Kane will be able to become the running back that Saquon Barkley was at Penn State, or do you think that he'll fail? And then the second question I have for you is, do you think Sean Clifford is the real deal and the best quarterback that James Franklin has had at Penn State?
I like Clifford, but he's going to have to cut down. His touchdown-interception ratio needs to get a little bit better. Last year, he threw 16 touchdowns, 9 picks. I think he definitely needs to improve there, hold on, or protect the ball a little bit more. I do think Noah Kane has the potential to be Saquon. I don't think he's going to bust out and necessarily be like Saquon Barkley in this game. I think he could over the course of the season, but I don't think he will necessarily in this game. I think he'll have probably a good game, but I'm not sure he's going to bust out and be like a people are just, I don't think it's going to be a performance that people can't stop talking about, and he's all over SportsCenter and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I think that this game could be really interesting. My final prediction really comes down to this game being a week one matchup and being a home game for Wisconsin. I think the week one jitters really hurt Penn State, especially last year. They got off to a poor start. I have this as a Wisconsin win, but only by 10 to 7 points, because I think that this will be probably maybe a double digit win in 10 points, but I think this will be a pretty low scoring affair unless if Penn State can get some dynamic play out of Jahad Dotson or Parker Washington.
I agree. I think it's going to be a pretty lower scoring game. I think both teams are going to be in that 20 to 30 range, maybe even a little bit lower than that. The winning team is most likely going to be at least 20 points. I think you have to win this game. Probably, I think the winning there it would just be terrible offensive play by both teams if the winning team doesn't score 20. But one thing I do want to say before we move on about this Penn State, how they did win four games last year, you kind of have to look at who they were playing. They did go on the road at Michigan and won 27-17, but then their next three wins was at Rutgers, Michigan State, and Illinois. So I don't know how much people are talking about that, like that could potentially mean Penn State's going to do stuff. I do think Penn State's going to have a good year. I don't think that those four wins last year in a row are going to be why. But I do think Wisconsin gets the win here, anywhere from 3 to 10 points, 3 to 14, something like that.
Okay, so this is the matchup that we've been waiting for months, if not years. The Georgia Bulldogs and the Clemson Tigers heading to Charlotte to play one of the more interesting matchups of the entire college football season. I would say this kind of determines the fate of how many teams get into the playoffs from the SEC. If Georgia ends up winning this game and that there's a possibility that you have two SEC teams in the playoff again, but if Georgia loses this game, I think that it's very unlikely that you get two teams into the playoff. So this could be a very interesting matchup. So why don't we start off with Georgia here and start off with the most important position in football and the position that really determines an elite team from a good team. This Georgia team has really been a good team but has never really been an elite team after Justin Fields transferred out because of some poor decision-making by Kirby Smart. So JT Daniels, can he be that quarterback and will he be that quarterback?
JT cannot be that quarterback. The problem with JT Daniels is he cannot move around in the pocket. He doesn't have a good feel for the pocket. If the pocket collapses, he's not running and he's not making any throws on the run, especially after that knee injury he had. And I think that's going to be the big problem for Georgia is they return three of the five starters on that offensive line. But Clemson's D line is so good. They have the best luxury you can have in college football other than having the best quarterback, which I think Clemson very well could have. They definitely have a top three quarterback in the country, and DJ. But the problem for Georgia is that Clemson's D-line can get consistent pressure and only rushing four. So that means they can drop seven and out into coverage and really stop this passing game for Georgia. And with them getting consistent pressure, they're going to be pushing the pocket back. And JT Daniels is not a very good quarterback if his feet are not set. I think there's going to be a lot of times that he drops back to throw that his feet are not set in this game. And so I look for him to really have a frustrating game.
Yeah, so the biggest issue that I have for Georgia personally at the moment is that Georgia's secondary could be a little bit weaker than some people will think about with the losses of Tyson Campbell. Eric Stokes, and to a degree, you also have the loss of Monty Rice at linebacker, who dropped into coverage a good bit. So the biggest issue I have is, will Clemson be able to exploit that for the passing game? And I think that there's a good shot that they do that. But a lot of people have been talking about Georgia's defensive line, too, and stopping Clemson's run game. Do you think that Clemson will have their run game stopped completely? Or do you think that their Dabo's going to be able to plan around that stout defensive line?
Personally, I do not. Well, one, to answer the Dabo question, he's definitely going to plan around it if it's not working. You saw that pretty much all the last half of last year, especially in that Notre Dame game. He really schemed around not having a running game and almost won that game. Probably should have won the game if not for a couple mistakes. But Georgia's defensive line is not as good as what people are saying. Jordan Davis is way overrated. The dude is he's just fat. He has no stamina. He gives up on plays. If you leave him out there for three or four plays in a row, he just gives up on the play. I don't like their defensive line at all. I don't think they're gonna be able to get consistent pressure just bringing four. And as Kirby Smart shows, he likes to bring the corner fires, which is gonna leave Georgia's corners one-on-one with guys like Justin Ross and Frank Latson going over the top. He's probably one of the fastest players in the country. And E.J. Williams, he showed out last year. And one of the biggest guys that people aren't really talking about is Ajo. This guy he looks just like D.K. Metcalf. He is absolutely ripped, and he has wheels. He can go up and get it. And the talk out of camp is Dakari Collins and Ajo are playing really well. So if Georgia brings corner fires, I'm not very confident that they're going to be able to stop the passing game for Clemson.
Okay, so going to Clemson now for a little bit of preview of them. Last year, They had a pretty good season in the ACC, making it to the college football playoffs and losing to Ohio State. Clemson last year, the reason why I bring up last year specifically is last year Clemson didn't really, coming into this year, they don't really have a truly healthy number one wide receiver that you can count on outside of maybe E.J. Williams. Like, you don't know 100% that Justin Ross is healthy. You don't know 100% whether Frank Ladson and Joseph Ngata are going to be completely ready to play, because last year it seemed that they were, even when they were playing, they were only semi in that offense. So I think the biggest contributor in the passing game, maybe it's E.J. Williams, but I'm thinking it's more Braydon Galloway. What do you think about that?
That's not going to happen. Clemson doesn't use the tight ends enough for Braydon Galloway to be the biggest passing threat. I think if you're going non-receiver here, biggest passing threat, I think it's going to be Will Shipley. I think he's going to have the most receiving yards probably out of somebody, or at least the most catches out of as a non-receiver. Justin Ross is 100% healthy. We've all seen it. He's taken several hits in the scrimmages and gotten right back up. Didn't even think about it. He's going to be fine for this game. Frank Ladson is healthy. He hasn't been injured all spring or fall. Joseph Ngata did have a hamstring injury, but he's back. I think Clemson's receiving core is going to be fine. And I really think they could win this. I don't think they need Joseph Ngata in this game just because Georgia's missing their best cornerback in Tyke Smith because he's going to be out. He had surgery a week or two ago, and he was expected to miss 4 or 5 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks. So he's out. So I expect us to be perfectly fine with what we have. Receiver.
Well, I think that pretty much does it for the previews. Who do you have winning the Clemson-Georgia game?
I have Clemson winning. I think they'll win by double digits, probably anywhere from 10 to 24 points, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I think the only factor that I see going in Georgia's favor is that early on in the season, Georgia has had some key wins against big teams like Notre Dame, Auburn, and even kind of a South Carolina team that was ranked. They were obviously weren't that good at it, but they were ranked. So I think that Georgia has had some key wins against ranked opponents early on in the season, but I don't see any way for Georgia to win this game, especially with their losses and injuries generally. So before we get into our game predictions, we're going to take one more commercial break. Make sure you stay with us till after the play break. And we are going to get into our game-by-game predictions of all the top 20 matchups in college football. Hey, guys. Welcome back. We are back with College Football Truth Day. So now we are doing our game-by-game predictions for some of the top matchups throughout college football. This is the top 20 matchups, not the top 20 ranked team matchups, but top 20 matchups according to us. So we are ready to get started with this. Do you want to get started with this, Lincoln, and what's our first game?
Yeah, so real quick, this is just what we felt was the top 20 games for week one. Counting the three, we've already gone over, so we won't be picking for them. You already know we both picked Clemson, we both picked Alabama, and we both picked Wisconsin.
A little bit boring.
So, yeah, a little bit boring there for the bigger games. Hopefully a little bit more throughout the season we'll start to disagree some. But I think we'll disagree through a couple games at the least throughout these games right here. So our first game for today is, that we're leading off with is Boise State at UCF. Who do you think wins this game and why?
Here's the biggest problem for me. It's hard to travel all across the country and win a game, but UCF also has a brand new head coach. So I went back and forth.
Boise does too, though.
Or that Brian is Harsin true. Went to Auburn. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna read a little bit of some of UCF stuff off if I can find them. Here they are. Okay, so you still have Dylan Gabriel. So like a lot of this stuff. It also the other thing I wanted to point out. It's a Thursday night game.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be a fun matchup on Thursday night. So I have this. I'm gonna pick UCF as a winner here. I think UCF. I think they're just a little bit better and a little bit better of a conference, and But by no means would I be surprised if Boise State wins this game.
I agree with everything you said. Gus Malzahn, a better coach. Dylan Gabriel, I think, is going to be the difference in this game, though. He's by far the better quarterback, and I expect Dylan Gabriel to have a huge game and take another step forward. So now one I think we're going to disagree on, East Carolina and App State in Charlotte for the Duke's Mayo Classic, the first of the two games, Clemson, Georgia being the other one. Who do you think wins this game?
I have App State here. I know you're pretty high on East Carolina, but App State, you have a former Clemson quarterback. I don't know if he's been named the starter. Because I don't
he
know
has.
Follow.
He's
I,
been, yeah, Chase Price is the
has been named the starter. And that defense last year was a pretty stout defense. They returned 10 starters from that defense. I'm a little bit concerned that they lose their quarterback, but generally I think that App State is a better program. So I have a hard time picking against the better program that is more proven throughout time. And East Carolina, yes, they're a little bit on the rise, but they still have yet to win more than four games in a season for the past 5 years.
I think this is the year they get there. I think they go 6-6 or 7-5, somewhere right in there. Holton Ahlers, I think, finally develops into what he's supposed to be. Whenever he's at his best, he's a top 20 quarterback in the country.
That's pretty high.
And several people, experts and stuff, would agree with that take as well. But the problem for me is, or the reason I have East Carolina is the quarterback play. I think Ahlers outplays Chase Brice by a ton. Chase Brice last year threw 15 interceptions to only 10 touchdowns. And his offensive weapons don't really get better. I would say they're about the same. I just don't think he's good enough to lead them to wins, and I don't think App State is going to win the game without Chase Brice having to lead them to the win, and I don't think that's going to be able to happen. East Carolina definitely has the better receivers with CJ Johnson and Tyler Snead. I expect East Carolina to win this game in a close one, in a thriller, fun one, and this one I believe is also on a Thursday night.
Yeah, that's correct. It's also on a Thursday night.
I think it's 7:30 on ESPNU.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun game. The other problem I have is East Carolina loses its top receiver from last year.
Well, that's because CJ Johnson opted out, I believe.
No, he played.
He played.
Was he injured? I don't think so.
He's the best receiver on the. He's the best receiver.
Well, either way, I would expect Sean Jolly to really step up in this game, and he may be a day two type of cornerback, from what I've been hearing in a lot of draft news and stuff like that. I think Sean Jolly could be a day two cornerback and really shut down either CJ Johnson or Tyler Snead at any given point. And then I'm also pretty high on their other cornerback in Steven Jones. I think that generally App State is just, they're a better team, they're more proven. And App State actually has a little bit of a tough schedule to start off the year with East Carolina at Miami. They play Marshall. They play at Georgia State, at Louisiana, and then a Coastal Carolina game. So this App State team is going to be tested and tested quickly. I expect them to come out of this game with a win. But this game should be a fun matchup overall. So let's head on to the next matchup, as we have Ohio State at Minnesota. I don't think that there's that much to talk about generally, other than that Minnesota is, I think, going to be an improved team this season, and I think they're going to be a good team. I have them going 7-5, but there's no way they beat Ohio State. There's just no way.
Yeah, I think Minnesota's, like you said, a 7-win team, somewhere right in there. 6-6, 8-4, 7-5, somewhere right in there. But Ohio State just has too much talent. They have the best receiving corps in America, and two top 10 receivers in Chris Olave, who's arguably the best receiver in the country, and Garrett Wilson, who's a top 10 receiver in his own right. So I expect Ohio State to win this game pretty easily. And just a real quick, we are keeping track of who picks who in these, and we're going to see who has the better record at the end of the season. So we will do our final recap. College Football Truth Day will be of that. But moving on to our next game, number 10, North Carolina on the road to Virginia Tech. What do you think about this game?
I would say this game should be a win for North Carolina, but North Carolina has proven in the past that they sometimes don't win games they're supposed to. So I think with this being week one, I expect this to be more of a slower start and then building up to the win rather than this North Carolina team coming right out of the gates, firing on all cylinders. I expect a win for the Tar Heels here, but don't expect it to be a complete blowout like some may expect if this was week five or six in the season.
Agreed. I expect North Carolina to win. I still expect them to win by double digits. They have arguably the best secondary in the country. So I think Virginia Tech's receivers are going to struggle. I think their offense will come out a little slower, but I expect Josh Downs and Sam Howell and all those guys, Ty Chandler, I expect them to end up get it going. And I think they'll have a couple big shots. Moving on, we have Michigan State at Northwestern. Who do you think wins this game?
Well, according to I'm going to kind of go with what I had for my prediction for the season. I have the Michigan State Spartans winning this one. I believe in Mel Tucker here, and this Northwestern team just got absolutely demolished by the NFL draft. Their entire team basically went to the NFL. They, I think, did name Hunter Johnson as the starter. So that should be interesting to see what he does. As the starter, just because he never really lived up to the hype, never really seems to develop. And Pat Fitzgerald, I wouldn't say is the best developer of talent. So at quarterback, so I think that even though I really like what Northwestern does, I'm gonna give the win to the Spartans here because I like Mel Tucker and what they're doing up there in Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going to take Northwestern here. I just think they have the better overall roster. I think no matter who you put in here at quarterback, Hunter Johnson, Ryan Helinski, Northwestern's good enough to beat Michigan State. Because Michigan State they had all the turnovers. They had just a bunch of turnovers last year. Rocky Lombardi, I believe his name was, he was just terrible. Now he's playing D2 or FCS. Northwestern's just a better team, in my opinion. Moving on, we have Stanford versus Kansas State. Who you got?
Stanford versus Kansas State. Well, this is actually going to be a pretty interesting matchup just because I think that Kansas State and Stanford are in interesting positions as college football teams generally. But I'm going to give the win here to the Kansas State Wildcats. This is a neutral site game, but I personally just don't believe in David Shaw, and I think that Chris Klieman has started to show some improvement. Yeah, last year he only went 4-6, but I'll give him a little bit of a break. I think that there's games that he should have won that he didn't, but I would say the running back situation that you have there with the returning running back and wide receiver production, I really think that this is going to be a big year for the Wildcats, and I think that they're going to really start the year off with a big statement with a win against Stanford.
I agree. I don't think the trees are good enough to beat the Wildcats. I think Kansas State and Skylar Thompson are going to have a good season. I think Kansas State wins here pretty easily. So now one I think we're definitely going to disagree on, West Virginia at Maryland. Who you got?
West Virginia at Maryland. This is about one of the more interesting matchups that you can get. And one of the reasons why I say it's an interesting matchup is because I think that Maryland can be a good team, especially in week one, because Maryland, obviously this was under a different head coach and different regime, but they beat Texas both years. One of the years they went to the freaking Sugar Bowl. So Maryland seems to be a good week one team and fizzle out towards the end, but I'm going to give the win here to the Mountaineers. I think that the Mountaineers are going to take home the win here just because I think there will be some home field advantage, but I think that West Virginia is going to be a little bit better in this scenario, but by no means is this a guaranteed win for West Virginia. It's a 51-49 game in West Virginia's favor.
Okay, I was expecting you to take Maryland, but I too take West Virginia. Maryland, they did recruit very well, especially at linebacker and defensive line, but I don't think those guys are gonna be developed enough to really make an impact here in this game. I do think West Virginia's defense could be suspect in this game. I think, but Maryland's offense isn't very high powering, so I expect West Virginia to get the win here. Now we have Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State. Who you got?
I got the Bulldogs here, mostly
Which
just.
Bulldogs? They're both Bulldogs.
Oh, man. I got the Mississippi State Bulldogs, the Cowbells. I think that the Mississippi State's going to pull out a win here just because of the air raid offense. I think that they're going to be able to get a small victory here, but I think that this is going to be a tough season for Mike Leach, just like it was last year. So I have the Mississippi State Bulldogs coming off with a win here. I think that the most interesting thing will be the quarterback play of Will Rogers, who technically is a freshman, but he was there last year. So he's kind of a sophomore and competing, but I think that Mississippi State's going to get the win here.
I'm also going with the Bulldogs, but I'm going with the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. They returned 10 starters on defense, and that defense is they were a really good passing defense. I mean, they were 59th in the country for passing defense last year. And we know Mississippi State is not running the ball at all. Maybe 2 times in the entire game, because Mike Leach loves that air raid. They return there, and they only lose one guy. They lose a D tackle, so they return their entire secondary and linebacking core, the primary guys that are going to be out there guarding them. And I think Luke Anthony, the quarterback for Louisiana Tech, is a really good quarterback. Last year, he was 138 of 221 for 1,479 yards, 16 touchdowns, to only 5 interceptions. Their return, or not their return, but Marcus Williams is a good running back. They return Smoke Harris, their receiver. He had 39 catches, 304 yards, 4 touchdowns last year. So I think Louisiana Tech pulls off the upset here.
Well, I think I could see Louisiana Tech winning this game, but with it being at Mississippi State, I don't see this happening. I'm going to disagree. But heading into our next matchup, this is actually a real fun one. San Jose State at USC. This is an interesting matchup for multiple reasons, starting with it's USC and they tend to start off very slow. So USC does not usually start off with a hot game and stuff like that, and they proved that last year against Arizona State. They proved that the year before against Fresno State. Like this is a team that just tends to start off very slow, no matter how high they're ranked, whether they deserve to be ranked or not. I'm not a super big believer in Keaton Slovich, but I'm gonna have to pick the USC here to pull out a small victory, mostly just because it's harder for San Jose State to replace the people that they lost compared to USC.
I agree. I think USC wins here. Like you said, they have shown that they start out slow. But I think with San Jose State's losses, I don't think they have enough. I think Keaton Slovis is a top 10 quarterback in the country. He's a really good quarterback. The problem is USC, the rest of their offense is not very good. That's the problem with Slovis, is he's kind of like Justin Herbert in the sense that he's a good quarterback. He just has no offensive weapons. But I think USC gets the win. So moving on to our next game, Oregon State at Purdue. Who you got?
Well, I got Purdue winning this game mostly because it's a home game for Purdue, and I think George Karloftis is going to have a big game here. So I'm going to pick the Purdue Boilermakers with their playmaking ability, and strong defensive line presence.
I agree with everything you said. I'm taking Purdue as well. Moving on, we have Texas Tech versus Houston, neutral site game. Who you got?
Texas Tech versus Houston. Like again, these are just—they're not big matchups, but they're interesting
And they're going to
matchups.
be very competitive and close and interesting games.
Yeah. So this is a game that I've gone extremely back and forth on. Man, this game's just—it's a tough game to pick. I'm gonna go with the man. I'm gonna go with Houston to win this game. I think that Houston, they're just a better run program, and I think Matt Wells is just not the coach that's right for Texas Tech, and I think that this is a game that Houston takes home the victory, and it's played basically in Houston at NRG Stadium.
I agree. I think Houston's gonna get the win. Yeah, this, like you said, it's pretty much a home game for Houston. I think they're the better team. They're definitely gonna have the better season, regardless of if they win this game or not. I think Houston's just a little bit better than Texas Tech, and with this pretty much being a home game for Houston, I think Houston gets the win. So I know for sure we're most likely gonna disagree on this one, unless you took my take, which I already told you before the show. UTSA at Illinois. Who you got?
I got the Fighting Illini of Illinois. I think that when I watched Illinois yesterday, by no means was it a good Illinois team, but there, by no means am I going to compare UTSA to being the equal talent of Nebraska. By no means. I think that UTSA is worse than Nebraska, and I think if Illinois can beat Nebraska, with this being a week one matchup for UTSA and a week two matchup for Illinois, I really think that the Fighting Illini will be able to pull out a victory here. And I think that this is a game that Illinois kind of puts its foot down and says, huh, maybe if we win this game and then win the Virginia game, which is unlikely, but I also didn't think they'd beat Nebraska, so I'm going to pick the Fighting Illini here.
I'm taking the Roadrunners in UTSA. They have the problem that I see for Illinois is UTSA is going to put up points. There's no denying that. Last year, they only averaged 28.2 points last year, but Frank Harris was just getting in. He wasn't the starter the year before, coming off an injury. I mean, they scored 51 against Texas State in the opener last year. They dropped 52 on UTEP. They dropped 49 on North Texas. And they played Louisiana Lafayette close. They only lost 31-24 last year. Neither team really had guys sitting back. UTSA returns all 11 starters on defense. They return 10 on offense. Sincere McCormick is a top 10 running back in the country for UTSA. He's going to be very early day three running back taken in this year's draft. If he decide, yeah, he would be eligible. He's a junior. So I just think the Roadrunners have too much offense, and their defense isn't bad either. They were 41st in scoring defense last year, 47th in total yard defense last year. So they had a pretty solid defense, especially for a team like UTSA out of Conference USA. I just think UTSA is the better team, or not necessarily the better team, but I think their offense is just too much. I don't think Illinois is going to be able to score enough to hang with them. Moving on, we have Louisville versus Ole Miss. Who are you taking?
I'm taking the Ole Miss Rebels here. I don't see this being much of a game. I think Malik Cunningham is better than most people expect him to be, but I was so high on Scott Satterfield coming after 2018, going into 2019, and he's really disappointed me, so I'm very disappointed in him, so I'm not going to be picking him. I have the Ole Miss winning this game, and I'm pretty high on Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, so we'll see if I'm right about that.
I have Ole Miss winning this game. Ole Miss just has, their offense is just so good. Louisville's not going to be able to put up enough points. The question is Ole Miss's defense. Can their defense stop Louisville? Because if they can't, if their defense can't stop Louisville and somehow Louisville is putting up the same amount of points as Ole Miss, this could be an interesting game. But still, I think Ole Miss wins because I think their offense is going to outlast Louisville's offense if it comes down to that. Moving on, we have number 16 LSU on the road at UCLA. Who are you taking in this one?
I'm going to go bold here, and I'm going to like Chip Kelly for once, and I'm going to pick the UCLA Bruins here. I'm not very sold on the quarterback situation with LSU, and I am very sold on the quarterback situation in UCLA. I'm going to pick the Golden Bruins, I'm going to pick the Bruins and go ahead put them in for pencil and 2-0.
Yeah, I think LSU is going to get the win here. LSU, a really solid team. I don't think you're giving Max Johnson as much credit as he deserves. I mean, he last year he was 88 of 150 for 1,000 yards, 1,069 yards, 8 touchdowns, 1 picks. He threw for 1,000 yards on 88 completions.
I know. Well, here's the thing. Remember, he's only playing SEC defenses that literally didn't even exist last year. The SEC set records on a weekly basis on how bad their defenses was. It was so bad that it gave Mississippi fans so much hope to think that the air raid system was actually going to work in the SEC.
Derek Stingley returns here. I know he played some last year, but he opted out halfway through. He's back now. Or he opted back in a little ways through. I think he played 7 games of their 10.
To be honest, I'm very confused about who played what. Like, Rashad Bateman, I have no idea what games they played.
But him and Eli Ricks, they're going to be... Eli Ricks had 4 picks last year in just 10 games. LSU just has a good defense. They're going to have a much improved secondary for sure. Their defense is going to be pretty solid. And Max Johnson's a good quarterback. I think LSU gets the win here. Now moving on, I don't think we're going to disagree on this one. Number 9, Notre Dame at Florida State. We both think Florida State's going to win, but tell us why.
Notre Dame is going to get the victory here. Mostly, I think they may struggle in the first quarter, but I think that Notre Dame's going to be actually better than they have been in the past because I think that they're going to have a dynamic running game, and Florida State's going to have nothing to stop it. So I think the passing game may be a little bit lacking in week one, and I know a lot of Notre Dame fans don't want to hear that, but it could be lacking there, but I definitely think that come fourth quarter, I think Notre Dame will probably win by 14 to 24 points.
Yeah, I agree. Notre Dame's going to win. I don't know if they're going to beat them by 24 points just because Notre Dame is not going to score a whole lot the way that they're going to play. They're going to milk the clock a lot. The one thing I will say is if Mackenzie Milton plays like he did at UCF, this game could get interesting because I think if he plays and pulls off some of the magical stuff he did while he was at UCF, that Florida State could have a chance in this game. Florida State does not lack talent. They're kind of like Georgia, but with lesser recruits. They haven't really developed anybody into anything good.
They're Tennessee.
Yes. But I think they're more talented Tennessee.
Tennessee has some pretty high recruits.
I think Notre Dame gets the win here. Now, moving on, we might disagree on this one. Number 23, Louisiana at number 21, Texas. Who you got?
So, I've gone really back and forth with this one. On my predictions, I picked Texas to win this game. But to be honest, I really didn't think about it being Louisiana, and I'm gonna change my prediction to the Louisiana winning this game because I'm not a big fan of Steve Sarkisian as much as everybody else is, and I don't know what's going on with the quarterback situation there, so I am going to pick Louisiana to win this game, and to really impress. They beat Iowa State last year, right?
But they beat them 31-14, I think.
So I think this is going to be another statement win that makes the Sun Belt look like a competitive conference and not just a weaker conference. I think that this could be a statement win by the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah, I think Louisiana gets the win here. They're the much better team. I do think Sarkisian is going to be the guy that turns this around. Texas program around.
But can he do it in that?
But I don't think he's going to do it this year. I don't think anything's happening this year. I do think, though, however, that Louisiana is a much better team than Texas. I think the Sun Belt is a great conference with Coastal, App State, and Louisiana. At least two of those teams are going to be ranked at the end of the year. Louisiana going 11-1, 12-0. 10-2 at worst, and Coastal going 11-1 at worst. I'm taking them 12-0 because they're by far the best team in the Coastal. I mean, by far the best team in the Sun Belt. I think Coastal will finish very highly ranked. But I think Louisiana is just a much better team. And now for our last game that we are picking today, number 17 Indiana on the road at number 18 Iowa. Who are you taking?
I got the Hawkeyes. This is a game at Kinnick Stadium, if I remember the name correctly. This is just an automatic Iowa win. I don't see Michael Penix being fully healthy either. And like we said this during the pre-thing, mentally or physically, there's always going to be a mental part of this, and I don't know if he's going to be able to mentally get past it, so I'm going to pick the Iowa Hawkeyes
In a little bit closer of a matchup, but not in a sense that Indiana's going to win the game, but just in a sense that Iowa's controlling it.
I'm taking Iowa as well. I do like what Tom Allen's doing with Indiana and their program. The thing with Penix that separates him from De'Aaron King is Penix has had multiple injury issues throughout his entire career, whereas De'Aaron King really hadn't had anything. I think the mental side of it is definitely going to come into effect here. If he's even 100%, I think the mental side will come into it. If he's not 100%, Indiana is definitely not winning because he's going to have the mental side and he's not going to be 100%. But I just think it's just making certain cuts, and especially for him being a running quarterback or a guy that likes to get outside the pocket and scramble and make stuff happen. With him potentially running, he's not going to make those hard cuts like he needs to be. And I just think Iowa is going to get the win here, especially in front of the kids at the cancer hospital up above them.
Well, that pretty much wraps up today's show at College Football Truth Day. Make sure that you check in next week. We're not sure whether we'll do this together. We'll try our best to, but we will definitely have shows out on each of our individual podcasts. Make sure you go check out the Clemson preview that the American Football Network will have up on Monday, and the Notre Dame preview that Chicago Sports Network will have up on Monday as well. Make sure that you guys have a great week, and hopefully you will enjoy this college football week. And as always, have a great time. Bye.
See ya.